Welcome to Film Fight Club. I'm Glenn Falcon, Slender Falcon Screen, and we are joined by Sydney filmmaker Chris Evans.
Hello.
And freelance writer and critic for Rotten Nehru.
Hello, hello.
Now we are 1 week out from the biggest film event of the year. It is the Sydney Film Festival. We are very excited. We've been planning our schedules and trying to fit everything in.
There's always a struggle.
Yeah, the Sydney Film Festival where three of us met for the first time, I remember.
That's right. Yeah.
Special place.
It is a special place. And we will be doing an episode next week where we will be sorting out our schedules in much more detail with our annual Clashes episode.
Yeah. This year it's particularly intense, which is a testament to how strong the program is. The number of clashes, that is. Jeez.
Yes, it is. And Speaking of the festival, we are very delighted to have with us the Sydney Film Festival director, Nashan Moodley, to talk about this year's program. Nashan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show again.
So it's the Sydney Film Festival. It's 7 days away. Are you excited? Tell us about this year's, the 65th annual Sydney Film Festival.
Yeah, we're really happy with the program we've assembled. It took a long time and there were lots of challenges along the way, as they always are. But in the end, I'm really, really delighted with what we've got. We've managed to secure, I think, the best films from the last year and some very, very new films that are coming to us straight from Cannes and perhaps a few more in the coming days. So we're really excited with the program and we hope the people of Sydney and beyond enjoy this festival.
Yeah, that a few more in a few days. Even more to fit in our schedule.
Hopefully spread across the program because the weekends are packed. Hint, hint.
Yes, wow. Including for all the schedules out there. So we do have a lot of films to talk about. However, I'd like to ask firstly, we've been looking through the program, we've been talking about it, and there's a few interesting creative directions you've gone this year, including the focus on documentaries. There always is an amazing selection of documentaries, but particularly this year, there is quite an extensive focus.
Well, I think it's each year we do many documentaries. My colleague Jenny Nabel makes a fantastic program of documentary films. This year there's, again, a really broad range of subjects covered and some fantastic films and some that are selling incredibly well already, some that are sold out already. And I think there's a real audience for documentaries, certainly within the festival context. I know fewer and fewer documentaries are released theatrically these days, which is a great pity, but I think you'll see several films at the festival that you'd think would really deserve to be theatrically released.
I think that's a trend for the film festival in general, because less and less interesting films are coming to theaters these days, in my opinion, and I think it's making the Sydney Film Festival very necessary for people who are interested in interesting films in Sydney.
Yeah, I'm afraid that may well be the situation more and more around the world as well. And that is a challenge. I think when we look at how quickly things have changed, and I only arrived in Australia about 7 years ago, and I was really stunned in a very pleasant way at the range of cinema available theatrically. And I think that's narrowed a great deal over this time. And
it seems like the art house market has really dried up. I remember around those days, there was some pretty interesting and unusual picks coming to your Verona and your Dendy Newtown. And these days, I think the shift has gone increasingly mainstream and Netflix has become the place to watch more specialty releases if they're lucky enough to get picked up there. So it's great to see such a diverse lineup at the festival.
Yeah, and I think, even on television, I remember when I first got here, I turned on my television for the first time and I thought, I recognize this film. It's a Korean film called Castaway on the Moon. What on earth is it doing on free-to-air television here? What channel is this? And I think even that's changed a great deal in that time. And I think it's pretty sad.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, we're very keen to talk about some of the films in the official competition, but while we're talking about documentaries, Chris and I were muddling over this earlier. There's one particular film that has seen, there's many sections that have already sold out, and there's one that has sold out, and this is, I'm hearing a lot of people don't generally go to festivals who are just queuing up, including my mother, who goes to films occasionally, but is so keen to see this one particular movie.
Yeah, who knew that Ex Libris would be the fastest selling film at the festival, right? Frederick Wiseman doing it again.
I wouldn't have picked it being one of the first films to sell out, but it did. I mean, of course, Wiseman has a great fan base at the festival and we screen every film of his. But yeah, first to sell out, no one really would have picked that, but it's a wonderful film. It shows the possibilities of libraries doing so much more than lending people books, doing so much more around the act of reading. And it's a fantastic film. So I'm really glad that many people are going to sit through close to 4 hours. Right. I think it's
I think you both got tickets for that one.
No, I missed out. I'm crossing fingers that certain people will realize how long it is and freak out.
Well, this show will help. We've now told I don't think it's quite 4 hours, but it's only not 90 minutes.
There's actually quite a few movies that 4 hours on near to it this year. I was surprised at how many really long films were in the program. We've got The Restoration of A Brighter Summer Day. We've got An Elephant Sitting Still. There's movies over 3 hours, like
The
Wild Petri.
Quintessential Lev Diaz?
Yeah, Lev Diaz is there at 4 hours once again with, what's it called again? It's
Season of the
Season
Devil.
Season of the Devil, right.
Which is a relatively short Lev Diaz film.
So if you want to catch the relatively short, longer films, you know where to go now.
Right, right. And another Abdelatif Kashish film, Mektub My Love, also 3 hours.
So that's right, that's right.
It's only chapter one.
Right. That's something that you're not going to see at regular cinemas anytime soon.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Not.
No. I am looking forward to the butt-numbing to come the next few weeks.
So speaking of butt-numbing and the films you will not see regularly at cinemas, there are several films that are screening in the official competition, one of which I have already had my tickets for. I'm very appreciative that over the years, Miko 2 years ago and with Malignant last year, there were films focused on just indigenous culture, but also North American indigenous culture. And this one is in the vein of what Malignant offered last year, but something at the same time very, very different.
Yeah, it's a film called Aga, which is set in one of the northernmost parts of the world, one of the coldest parts of the world. And it's a very, very beautiful film, a romance in some ways, about an elderly couple who live in complete isolation. There's no community around them. They have a single contact to the outside world who comes to visit them every few months or weeks. It's hard for us to trace time in a way in this film. And he tells them about their daughter from whom they're estranged. And I think the film so delicately and beautifully looks at this changing society and what impact it has on this couple, who are in some ways the last of their people to stay true to the old ways. And it's just devastatingly beautiful. And I think it's just going to look incredible on the big screen at the State. And people are going to leave that screening, I think, in tears. I predict.
You know, it's a good prediction. What's interesting also is the focus on Afghanistan, because I remember last year, Wolf and Sheep was one of my favorite films, which screened, and I'm really fascinated to see what kind of films from Afghanistan and the region in general are being screened at Sydney Film Festival this year.
Well, I think one I should point out also in the competition is Jirga, and by an Australian filmmaker, Benjamin Gilmore. And the story of the film is incredible, because Benjamin went off with his actor, Sam Smith, to shoot a film in Pakistan. They had funding from Pakistan to make this film. And once they got there, the film was deemed too politically hot to make, and funding was pulled. So they could have done the sensible thing, return to Australia, regroup, figure out how to make this film or another film. But Benjamin went off to a Pakistani shopping mall, bought a camera, learned how to use it, rewrote the script very hurriedly, and they went off to Afghanistan, where he made a film before, Son of a Lion, in that region, that border region. And exposing themselves to great danger made this film, Jirga, which is very beautiful, and a film about war, but one that also shows the power of forgiveness and redemption. And again, I think it's going to be a great screening at the State Theatre.
That's incredible dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is. I'm looking forward to that one too. And I'm also looking forward to, we were talking right before an interview about the new venue for the Sydney Film Festival in Eastern Sydney. And there one particular film set in Afghanistan, which did very well on the awards circuit, which I'm very much looking forward to seeing. And I have my tickets for the first session. I think it's on the first Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
You're talking about The Breadwinner?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lovely animation. It's very beautifully done. And the story of a young girl whose father's arrested by the Taliban, and she's determined to save him and has to pose as the boy to do so, has to work and find money to support her family. And it's a great tale of bravery, one that's really inspiring and heartwarming, and we think it's going to work very well for young people, but for adults too.
On the subject of animation, I'm particularly looking forward to Mirai from
absolutely Mamoru Hosoda's new film played in Cannes in the director's fortnight, and again we're screening it at the State. We've played a few of his films at the festival before. I think Summer Wars played, and yeah, I think he's a fantastic animator and storyteller.
I think he's a necessary addition to the anime landscape now that we don't have Studio Ghibli around anymore. I think he's capturing some of that old Miyazaki magic.
Absolutely, but apparently Miyazaki's going to make another film.
Right, I think
so. We'll see.
He'll never stop working.
You never retire, right? Until you retire the last time.
Yeah, we have not. We have not. Yeah. And just but to bring us to the ad break, just to bring us back to Afghanistan, there is one other documentary in Australia from an Australian filmmaker set in Afghanistan, and I'm a music fan, as are many other people on the station and who listen to the station, and they're going to be particularly keen on this one.
Yeah, Rockable is incredible. Story of a bunch of young men in Kabul who don't really know how to play any instruments, don't even have the instruments in some cases, but are determined to form a heavy metal band, and they're assisted by the filmmaker and journalist Travis Beard. And the film is incredible because it just shows this compulsion to make art where it doesn't really make sense to do so. Your life is under threat just for playing music, and they go ahead and they do it, and I think it's a remarkable story. And we'll have great screenings. We'll have the director with us and one of the band members, I hope, too.
Oh, that's marvelous. Yes.
Yeah. So we're working on that, and I think it'll be fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed watching the scenes where they're playing to audiences, and whether it were 400 or 10,000, as they said, and that was marvelous. And I look forward to seeing a little bit of that magic play out in Sydney. But we will be playing for you now from District Unknown, Modern Nature, one of the hits. We will be right back with Nash and Moodley from the Sydney Film Festival. Stay tuned. Are back with Sydney Film Festival director Nash and Moodley talking all things Sydney Film Festival 2018. Finishing up with our focus on Afghanistan, there is one more documentary about filmmakers of all things. We've heard of Bollywood, we've heard of Hollywood, but this is something very, very different.
Yeah, the film's called The Prince of Nothingwood and is about this quite crazy guy, I think, called Salim Shaheen, who's made, I think at the time of filming of the documentary, around 110 or 111 films, all starring himself. He's always the lead actor.
As you do.
and the films are action films, you know, romances, there's song and dance numbers. But of course, because it's not permitted or, you know, certainly incredibly dangerous for women to star in films in Afghanistan, the female roles are played by men as well. And it's fascinating because he has real star power in Afghanistan. He's recognized everywhere he goes. They don't use prop weapons, they use real weapons when they
oh dear. You wouldn't get away with that here.
But as the director says, it's these guys really put their lives on the line when making cinema. They're really doing that, and it's really a lovely, inspirational story of someone so determined to make films. And he says it's called, there's so little money in it, actually no money in it, that's why it's called Nothingwood.
Wow. Well, I'm seeing that. I've got my tickets next Friday night at Dendy Opera Keys, I think. So Very keen.
There was another movie about filmmaking that I was interested in, Film Worker, with a very different angle on the filmmaking process from what I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. This is about a man who, Leon Vitali, who dedicated his life to Stanley Kubrick. He was going to be an actor and I think had a small role in one of the, in Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, a very memorable role though, as Lord Bullingdon, Barry Lyndon's adopted son.
Oh, right.
And was so fascinated by Kubrick and wanted to learn more about the process and became his right-hand man, really doing everything and all sorts of things to aid the great master. Mm. And I think it's perhaps a reflection on genius and the people who enable that genius and sometimes perhaps don't get the right amount of credit for doing so.
Right, right.
Talking about lighter films, I'm interested in satire, and I think Mani Hijiji's new film, Pig, seems to be an interesting take on everything Middle Eastern life.
It's completely mad, this film. It's really bonkers, and I love it so. It's about a film director who's blacklisted, so there's this little political element, but I wouldn't say it's a political film. This time, it's really a very funny film that satirizes the arts community and filmmaking itself. So he's blacklisted, he can't make any films. He's really upset that his muse is working with other directors, but he's most upset that the most prominent Iranian directors are being killed. They're being murdered, beheaded. And his question is, well, if they're killing the best filmmakers, why is no one coming to kill me when I'm the best filmmaker? And there's a wonderful, wonderful scene where he's complaining to his mother that, you know, and she says, no, but you're so great. You're so great. I'm sure they'll come to kill you very soon. I'm sure you're next.
Honey, don't worry. It's going to happen. You'll make it one day. Wow.
It's an incredible film. It's really hilariously funny and quite unlike anything I've seen from Iran. I've seen many, many Iranian films over the years, but this comes out of a completely different mindset and space.
Wow. Well, on the subject of blacklisted Iranian directors, we of course...
Not lovely segue, perfect.
Yeah.
We have the new film from Jafar Panahi, just out of Cannes, Three Faces.
Absolutely. It won the Best Screenplay Award in Cannes, and he's one of my favorite filmmakers. I love Jafar Panahi, and he's a wonderful, humane director, a wonderful person, and I'm so happy that we've managed to play all four of his films since being banned from filmmaking at Sydney Film Festival. And I just wish that a time will come very soon when Jaffa can actually join us at the festival. He was someone who really loved to travel all over the world. He came to my festival in Durban many times. He came to the Dubai Film Festival where I worked as well several times. And he was someone who just had a great adventurous spirit and wanted to meet people and eat different stuff and do all sorts of things. So he's very much missed by the international film community and by me. And I hope things will change. I say this with every film. I'm happy he's still making films, but I hope his situation changes so that he's allowed to travel again.
Talking about people who I wish can make it to the festival, it's interesting to note that Nawazuddin Siddiqui will have three films now at Sydney Film Festival after Gangs, Saigal Rahman, and now Manto. So it's almost like nice little trifecta happening with that. He's one of the best actors I know, so I'm glad that you've sort of picked up Blades from Cannes.
Yeah, we're really happy to have Manto in the festival. I think the film's great. I'm a big fan of the writer Manto, and I don't know how much he's read these days, actually. I came upon him by chance many years ago, and I have been slightly obsessed ever since. And I think the film is directed by Nandita Das, the acclaimed actress. It's her second film. Her first was a film called Firak. And in a way, this covers similar territory. I think it looks at religious difference and violence and art and what it takes to create that art, especially at this very vital time in the history of India and Pakistan. So I think it's a film that also very carefully and cleverly incorporates I think four or five, I think it's five, of Malta's most famous stories, and does it very well. So we're really delighted to have the film. And you're quite right, it's a wonderful performance again by Noah Azuddin, who I agree with you is one of the best actors working in Indian cinema today.
Now, there's, changing tack ever so slightly, there's two documentaries I'm quite interested in along the very similar theme of surveillance. One is compiled from tens of or thousands of hours of footage, whereas the other is about a very prevalent, a very current issue, as we're hearing that Mark Zuckerberg and others have been under a lot of pressure with the news that has broken about Facebook. And there is another documentary which focuses in great detail on those very much part of that machinery.
Yeah, the first film you refer to is Xu Bing's Dragonfly Eyes, which is quite an incredible film. I think it's playing as an installation now at the White Rabbit Gallery, but we felt it could do with the cinema screening, where you're really focused on all of it, and yeah, made up of tens of thousands of, or edited from tens of thousands of hours of footage. What's incredible about it is that it has a narrative that's imposed on it, of course, because the footage is from all sorts of sources. But I think it's absolutely fascinating, and some of the things you see in it is just incredible. And the documentary is The Cleaners, which is pretty terrifying, because I think it just shows us how what we experience on social media and on the social networks, how that's mediated and who that's mediated by and through what rules. And it means that what we're seeing is very clearly controlled, and it also has a deep impact on the people who are paid to do this cleaning. Yes, so terrifying indeed.
Indeed. And we will be back in one moment with more on the Sydney Film Festival. There, as in every year, there are wonderful documentaries about music and fashion. Now, this year is no exception. There is a documentary screening about Vivienne Westwood. And we have here from my favourite album, Never Mind the Bollocks, Pretty Vacant. We'll be back in a moment. And that was the Sex Pistols with Pretty Vacant. This is Film Fight Club, and we are with Nashan Midley, the director of the Sydney Film Festival. Every year there are many strands that form part of the festival, one of which is returning, and I am so glad it is.
Yeah, it's Greenability. I'm really excited for this one, especially You Won't Get Far on Foot, which is one of my favourite films that I'm looking forward to. Can you tell us more about the strand, and it's now returning as well? What can we look forward to this year?
Well, it's great that we have Screenability again at the festival. The section is dedicated to filmmakers with disability, and we are finding that there are a number of films, not enough yet, but a number of films that qualify for this program. And this year we also have Create New South Wales, which has funded a range of short films that we will play on the opening night of Screenability, and also have a couple of feature-length films, The Sign for Love from Israel and Stuttering My Constant Companion from Austria. So again, last year Screenability for the first year did incredibly well. Most sessions were sold out, and we hope to repeat the success this year.
Wonderful. Now, each year I get my FlexiPass and I see a bunch of films that I'm seeing with friends and ones, the big ones I know I want to see, but I like to take a chance on a few. And this is what I always recommend to people to do. Go out there, see one you would normally never see anyone else or a filmmaker you don't know.
Keep your eyes on the hub with $10 sessions for tickets to films that aren't selling so well.
Also love the ABBA reference, Glenn. Take a Chance on Me. It's a great song.
do love ABBA, Mamma Mia 2 coming out. Very different. But we want to know, of the films, there are hundreds of films in this festival. Are there ones people might not have seen or might not have heard from or might want to take a chance on?
Yeah, there are many, I think. I think it's one of the wonderful things about this festival and many other festivals is that we're able to show works by brand new filmmakers with their first films, filmmakers who are not discovered yet, but who will, we hope, eventually be the great filmmakers of tomorrow. And just a few of the films I would like to mention. I think Camilla Andini's The Seen and Unseen is a tremendous film. It's from Indonesia and playing in the official competition. We have a first film playing in the official competition called One Day, a film from Hungary, actually made by a student of Ildikó Enyedi, who won the Sydney Film Prize last year for On Body and Soul. And One Day is a day in the life of a mother of young children who's having a big problem with her husband, who's conducted this romance with one of their best friends. And the incredible thing about it is that it's so detailed and immersive that the film really plays out like a thriller, and it really works in that way. And I think it's tremendous. It's a fantastic film. Another first film that I think I'm so happy we have at the festival is a film called A Vigilante, and it's by an Australian director, Sarah Dagger Nixon. It's set in America and is about a survivor of domestic abuse who takes it upon herself in an incredibly violent way to rescue women who find themselves in terrible situations. And the film is both thrilling and it has fantastic action sequences, but at the same time has real emotive power, and I think it's marvelous.
Well, I have my ticket to that one. I'll be seeing that at the State Theatre. I think it's 4 o'clock on Sunday, I think it is. And I'll be going with some friends. I know they were quite interested in that one too. And it is happening in Sydney, all around Sydney. For those who want to see the festival, where can they see it? What are the venues this year?
Well, we have a range of venues, beginning with the State Theatre, but also event cinemas and on George Street. We have Dendy Upper Keys, Dendy Newtown. Randwick Ritz returns for the second year. We return also to the wonderful Orpheum, Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace in Cremorne. And we're screening in Casula Powerhouse and Art Gallery of New South Wales. There are probably a few that I've missed, but the festival really goes to many places. And it's very easy to get tickets to the festival. You could visit our website, sff.org.au, or call our box office, or just rock up to the cinema. We usually have tickets for sale for most films just at the cinema, so drop by.
Yeah, we will. We'll be spending a lot of time too at the Hub, won't we, with all the... There's a whole new virtual reality segment as part of the festival.
Yes, that's right, returning. But more importantly, there's a happy hour for drinks.
Ah, yes.
That's a very debatable assertion I just made. But if you live life like we do at Film Fight Club, yeah, you know, the only virtual reality I want to live in is one brought about through excessive blood alcohol content.
It's probably the only 2 weeks of our lives where we can pretend to be social and be accepted as being social beings.
It brings together film nerds like nothing else.
Oh, yeah, everyone's going to all the critics flying from around the country. All my friends are like, Glenn, what do I go see? What do I get tickets to? So I'm pretty keen. I'm going to see a lot of more people, even though I'm spending more time in closed, darkened rooms than I normally would. This is fantastic.
And not the way that I imagined I would be spending time in closed, dark rooms, but yeah. That's exactly it.
So we are very excited. And for those who maybe have been to the festival before or have never been before, there'll be some listening. So what do you say to them? It's a 1 week away.
Well, I think take a chance on something. What's something you've never heard of before, from a country you've never seen a film from before? I think festivals provide this wonderful opportunity for discovery, and often people see something they know nothing about that can really change their life and really create an attachment to that director or that type of cinema or that country cinema. And that's what can happen at a festival. So take a chance and let's see if it does.
Well, it did happen to me 2 years ago. We talked last week about Susami Man, one of my all-time top five favorite films. And
we'll
fight. Yeah, I know. Ooh. I know.
We have to fight about that.
That's fun. That.
But we will fight about that in coming weeks, and hopefully more top five films we will catch in the coming days and weeks. Nashan, thank you so much for joining us. And
thanks very much.
We look forward to Sydney Film Festival number 65.
Thanks very much for having me on the show again.
Thank you.